Hello and welcome to Sports Report Podcast, episode 28. I'm Billy.
And I'm Aiden.
And today we got some news from the NFL, NBA, and the MLB, including the MLB's possible reopening and reschedule, the NBA getting closer, and in the NFL, some Tom Brady drama, as well as some new uniforms and constant problems, which now seemingly is everybody's getting arrested. So yeah, we'll get into that. Aiden's finally back from a hiatus from pretty much two episodes, which wasn't a ton, but through that, it was about a month. We didn't record a ton, but we're back now. Aiden's back. Alejandro isn't back just yet. He'll be back, hopefully,
next week. Time
we record, which will most likely be next week. We'll try to get more consistency here. But we're getting everybody back together so we can talk about whatever there is in sports. And hopefully, we'll get more in sports.
Wow, social distancing. Weeks.
Yeah, wow, social distancing.
Stay safe.
Yes, stay safe.
All right. So, there have been some Tom Brady rumors going around that he was worn out by Josh McDaniels and kind of phased out of the offense as they move towards a more run-oriented offensive game plan, kind of like you saw in the Super Bowl against the Rams, where they only put up 13 points, and it was a pretty dull offensive game.
Now, Brady denied this on Instagram. Not Instagram, Twitter. He denied it on Twitter. It doesn't matter what social media platform, he denied it anyways. So Brady denied this. Do I think that there's any truth to this? I think so.
Possible.
I think McDaniels is friends with Brady, and I think they get along.
I don't think he would have blatantly done it. I think he was just trying to work with what he had.
I mean, Brady's getting older, and with older age, he's losing arm strength. And with what the Patriots are doing, they were doing more checkdowns and not a lot of stuff down the field, which Brady wanted to do. Brady's always throwing the ball away, and he just wasn't happy with what the offense was doing. And I think some of that is McDaniels, but I think most of that is just the roster building at the same time, because Belichick wasn't getting him any weapons at all, really. Last year he got Mohamed Sanu, and that was about it in terms of getting extra weapons. So Brady really wasn't getting much at all. And I think he's still friends with McDaniels, but him going to Tampa Bay shows kind of that disconnect between him and McDaniels at the same time, because McDaniels is more of a check down, kind of work your way down the field type of guy, whereas Bruce Arians, you saw with Jameis Winston, and he said he's going to run the same offense this year. So Brady's going to be running a high-level
gunslinging
type of offense, just like that air raid thing that Arians likes to do. We saw Jameis throw like 50 times a game last year, and hopefully he'll have a bit more of a running game. But you see, it's a total polar opposite, Arians and McDaniels, and you can see that Brady wanted some change, and he got a lot of changes in that he's going to have more control in Tampa Bay. It's more loose, and he also has a different type of offense that I think he wants to run.
You do look at, though, obviously Brady doesn't really apply to aging in the NFL because he's ridiculous and a freak of nature. Mm. But at the same time, you don't want him throwing like 50 times a game like you had Jameis throwing, because you're going to wear down his arm, and you want him to be able to last into the postseason because that's where it's going to matter.
Yeah, I think Jameis, it showed, even with him, he's a super young player. He has a lot of potential despite his somewhat low numbers, high numbers of interceptions and inconsistencies. But you can see that he has athleticism.
He has a lot of potential under the right coach.
Yeah, if he can clean up his mistakes, he has a lot of potential. But Brady, he has good decision making. His arm's a little weaker than it was. And if you're running that type of offense with a 43-year-old, I don't think that's ever really been done. I mean, Breeze has kind of come close. He's not as old. Breeze runs somewhat of a downfield offense, more
it's
than
kind
Brady
of in between. It's in between the Patriots and the Bucs.
Yeah, but he also has checkdowns to Kamara, and he has that to kind of shield him at the same time. So, you know, it's kind of similar. But I think Brady's going to have a tough time adapting to the offense, as all quarterbacks would when they change to such a drastically different offense. And yet, even if you're just going to another team, you're going to have some struggles because you don't know the team yet. You don't know the coaching. You don't know all this. And Brady's been in the same system for ages. So I think he can adapt. I don't think he's necessarily a system quarterback. I think he can adapt. I just think he's going to have some struggles early on. And once we get into that back half of the season, once he gets that bye late in the season and he's getting adapted to the offense and to the weapons around him, I think it will be smooth sailing from then on. But I think the start of the season, we're going to see some struggle from Brady, at least.
He'll still be warming into what his options are, trying to get to know his different receivers, how to lead them and all that. Obviously Gronk will be still be one of his favorite targets, but usually you see, you saw with the Patriots, some of the younger ones and Philip Dorsett when they had him too, it took, a few weeks for, Brady to kind of learn. Well, I think it was more of the receivers learning what Brady wanted than Brady mm-hmm. learning what the receivers do. Because Brady has a very high standard of his receivers knowing what they're doing and their routes and stuff like that.
And you could see, just look at last year. Last year, Brady was getting very agitated at Jakobi Meyers and N'Keal Harry, and you could see that on the field because they're young and they necessarily didn't know they weren't doing what Brady wanted them to do.
Yeah.
And he has a short temper towards people doing things that he doesn't want to do. So if Brady can't get used to you as a wide receiver immediately, it's going to be really tough for him to get used to you later. So he needs his wide receivers to be in there like immediately, like really fast. So I think Evans and Godwin can really get used to that. I mean, Gronk, obviously, already used to Brady.
Yeah.
So we have that. But I don't think he's going to have a ton of problems. I just think early on in the season, it's going to be tough for him. Just the drastic change between Arians and McDaniels is going to be really tough for him. Next up, we have Tua Tagovailoa. He got a 4-year, $30 million deal. Now, this is a kind of an average deal for a quarterback of that caliber in the first round. So
obviously unproven and the injury doubts and all that. So it's a little more than I would expect necessarily.
I believe he got like $6 million less than what Burrow got. I think Burrow got 36. They both have fifth year options as any first rounder would, but that's what Tua has right there. T.Y. Hilton, once he retires, once he gets his next extension, he will retire. Now, T.Y. Hilton, I believe, is coming into his 30s. He's had some injury problems, but, you know, once he gets his next so he's 30 right now. His contract should be running out soon. This obviously means that T.Y. is going to come back to the Colts. Now, if I was T.Y. right now, I'd probably want to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think the Colts are a championship winning place, though. I respect that T.Y. wants to stay in Indianapolis, but I don't see a lot there really for him anymore because, you know, Brissett's there, and if they can hang on to him, that's great, but you're going to have Rivers for a year, and I don't think Rivers is going to do much. You saw him kind of washed up in Los Angeles last year. And now you see him coming into Indianapolis where he has to learn new systems and all that. And just like, it doesn't seem right. And I feel like T.Y. could make a big difference somewhere else.
Yeah.
Even bigger difference.
Especially like New England.
Yeah, New England would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really nice. But T.Y. is going to be a Colt for life, it seems here. He's going to get his extension.
Which I respect.
Yeah, I'd give T.Y. the money and hire with the Colts. I mean, you got him. Now you got Michael Pittman, too. They drafted him from USC, who's going to be a nice little wide receiver. You also got Paris Campbell there still from Ohio State from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you got those guys under T.Y., so T.Y.'s going to be a good mentor to them. And they can make a nice little receiving core there, but if they can get, you know, they have defense, they have the O-line, they just need to find the quarterback now, that Andrew Luck. Once Andrew Luck retired, it just
screwed
up.
they'll be mediocre, but they're not really a championship caliber team yet.
Yeah. But I think securing T.Y. is probably good for the growth of the wide receivers below and just keeping steady consistency with the team anyways and trying to stay in contention. I think keeping T.Y. would probably be good enough for there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good for him. They should give him the money, shovel out the money. It's what the team should do. So hopefully he does. And if not, then probably a mistake. So as you saw, the Rams unveiled their uniforms this week, a little later than every other uniform.
They're very vibrant. I'll give them that.
Very. Some people are calling them the IKEA uniforms because they look very similar to IKEA.
The all blue ones, I think, are okay. The only thing that throws me off is the little patch logo on the shoulder, especially on the white one, because it's like a different, it's like a really bright white instead of like a kind of faded gray with the actual uniform. So that kind of is a bit odd. And
yeah,
they're not my favorite.
I like the blue ones somewhat. I mean, the blue ones are alright. I kind of like how the numbers are like
faded out into a white. And I also really like the helmets.
Yeah, the helmets are nice. The logo, that's horrible.
Yes.
Which sucks, but I would have liked them to keep the old uniforms, honestly, and then kind of adjusted the away uniforms so that they fit the homes that they had. The kind of old throwback ones that they had.
Yeah.
And maybe a little more minor adjustments, which is kind of like what this one is, besides for like the whites. But the white uniforms is what I have the problem with, because that little like patch thing, it reminds me so much of in the NBA.
The sponsors. You know,
sponsorships.
But it just says LA Rams. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's the wrong white too. It's
the uniform's more of like a really light gray. Where it's actually like a really pure white on the little patch.
Yeah. It doesn't make much sense. Also, what I'm just noticing is that you have the 20 and then you have a yellow stripe down the pants instead of like blue, which probably would have made more sense there, seeing as if the numbers are blue and
yeah.
Yeah, the white uniforms aren't for me necessarily. I mean, the ways that they had last year were nice. They didn't really fit the homes, but they were nice. They were working like with their old like 90s jerseys mixed as their homes and then like the ways as mixed between the white helmet from like the 60s.
They were very conflicted on what they wanted to do. They were mixing too many things together.
It was really weird. But these are like, okay. I'll give them the home. The home's okay.
Yeah.
The away is ugly. And that's what I think.
Agreed.
I don't see it. The NFL is extending their virtual offseason to the end of May. Now, this is expected as facilities, not all of them are able to open, and they're starting to open as the NFL can begin to open facilities following state regulations.
22 of the teams are allowed to do so.
22 can right now. Obviously, teams in LA and California can't because
they're not opening for a while.
That's going to be a big thing, and it's going to be tough for the teams to manage that. I would see maybe they're going to play somewhere else in some other state because the NFL is not going to push back their season
because of one state.
The Rams and the Chargers and the 49ers.
Yeah, they're not going to let one state get in the way of their whole season.
They're not pushing back the season. So if the Rams and the Chargers and the 49ers can't get out of the state, I think the NFL would just be better off just going ahead without them. And
or finding them somewhere else to play and practice.
Yeah, I think finding them another state to play is probably where they should go with that. But, you know, it might be tough. I don't know. Also, they're opening up SoFi for SoFi Stadium for the Chargers and the Rams. So that's going to be tough for them. They're not going to open up SoFi this year at all, probably, because they can't have any sporting events. So the NFL needs to address that sooner or later, because right now they're just kind of ignoring it. And if LA and California just stay on this stance that they're going to not open up really anything until
next year.
Next year, then where are the Rams and the Chargers going to play, and what's the NFL going to do? They can't just ignore it. So that's going to be interesting to see. I think they should move them out. Maybe do some neutral site stuff, kind of like the MLB is trying to do.
Yeah. You ask the same questions about all the other sports and all that stuff.
So
that have teams located in California, which is everything.
Yeah, Raiders got lucky; they moved out just in time. So
yeah,
there's that. Joe Buck, as you know, one of the announcers for Fox Football and all the games on Fox, one of the main announcers, also does baseball as well. He said Fox will use fake crowd noise and possibly virtual fans next season. Now, this got some backlash on the internet. He also kind of pulled back the claims, although he said the claims and said he didn't say them. It was a whole mess.
It's a weird thought, but it does make sense, because I feel like it would be really weird to, like, everything to be so quiet. Yeah. And plus, I don't know if TV necessarily wants us to hear every single thing the players are saying.
I think it would be interesting just to have nothing there and just kind of to listen in. But at the same time, it's kind of unnatural. And, you know, we haven't really seen it, so we can't really judge it yet.
And you have to hope the players behave themselves.
Kind of like in the XFL when they were dropping F-bombs.
Yeah.
So, but that was kind of the fun of it.
Yeah, well, that's different.
Yeah. But the fake crowd noise, I'm somewhat against it. I kind of want the game to be more natural and just leave it as it is. I mean, soccer's working with it, so
yeah.
They should be fine. That they are fine. That it worked out fine. And the NFL should be no different. I mean, the fans are, of course, a big part of it, especially in things like the Super Bowl and things like that. But if it's just a plain regular season game, I mean, the Chargers are probably not going to have no problems, and the Jaguars probably aren't going to have any problems. Because, I mean, that's the normal sound on Sundays anyways.
Oh, boy.
So, besides for the devoted fans, you know.
There's a few.
Yeah, there's a few. And there's some in London. So, but anyways.
Yeah.
I think just having the natural sound of the game is fine. I think that's okay. They should probably leave it as that. Because the fake crowd noise, you're probably going to be able to tell that it's weird. And it will probably be a little bit weird. I'm okay with it. But at the same time,
I just hope it isn't like a loop.
Kind
so
of
that
scourged.
You hear the same things over and over again. And all that stuff.
That'd be really weird. The virtual fan thing, that is something that I don't even want to really look at. I'm kind of really against that.
I feel like they would just be forcing us to look at people live streaming themselves.
Well, maybe.
Their houses or whatever.
But if they do like virtual models of people. Like,
that could be cool.
Like, do you know how on NBC they had, during the Super Bowls on NBC, I think the last one on NBC was it this year's Super Bowl? It might have been.
I'm not sure.
But what I'm thinking about, I'm just picturing back in Super Bowl 52, they had those models of like Tom Brady and Nick Foles, and they were like really bad. And they were just really bad models. It seemed like they threw them up like a minute before they put them on screen or something.
Yeah.
They looked horrible, and I feel like that's something what the fans would be. Like, look up the models from Super Bowl 52 and tell me that those aren't bad. They're really, really bad. So I think that's probably what the virtual fans would be like, and if that's what they're going to be like, I'm totally out on that. So I'm out. What about you?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan on it, but I'm not completely opposed to it. I think it would be interesting to see what they do with it, but it would be very difficult to make it work. And I feel like it's better just to let it be.
Yeah. I think the natural game would just be completely fine. And honestly, right now, we don't even have to worry about getting virtual fans in there or getting fake crowd noise. What we need to
worry about getting the actual sport to be able to play.
Yeah, we want the actual game. Like, as long as we get football and as long as we get sports, I don't care what format it's in. Just give me football this season. That's all I want. All I want is football, because right now we got nothing. I mean, we got the UFC, which is pretty good.
And we have the German Soccer League.
German Soccer League, Bundesliga. So there's that, but Seahawks reportedly offered Russell Wilson to the Browns in 2018 for a first round, for their first overall pick. Then this was a big news story. Hugh Jackson, the coach of the Browns at the time, he came out and denied this rumor. Do I think this rumor is legitimate?
I highly doubt that the Seahawks would actually offer Russell Wilson.
Well, I doubt it, but at the same time, there could be some truth to this because Wilson, as we know, was looking for a contract at that time, and the Seahawks were
struggling with financial ability to re-sign him.
And, you know, he wanted a lot of money, and he got a lot of money.
Yeah,
he definitely got a lot of money. But I think the Seahawks at the time were probably looking at, if we give Wilson all this money, we're probably not going to have a lot to sign other players or something like that. And we would just be better off drafting a player now, cheaper salary, you know, and not as big of a cap hit, and be able to rebuild
other pieces elsewhere.
Yeah, instead of just having Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson's worked out, obviously, and they've put good pieces around him.
Yes.
And they're not as good as they were back in 2014 or 2013, but they're still a really good team, and they're a Super Bowl contender still.
Yes.
As much as people thought they might fall down after they lost the Legion of Boom and things like that. But they made a quick recovery. If this did happen, though, how dumb are the Browns for not accepting this deal?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know a world where Baker Mayfield will ever end up better than Russell Wilson.
I mean, Baker's a good player, but you take the risk on a rookie.
Or you have a proven quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, knows what he's doing, he's experienced, he's still kind of in his prime, and he will be able to, like imagine how good the Browns would be if they had Russell Wilson instead of Baker Mayfield and OBJ and Jarvis Lance.
That's so good. That's such a good.
That is insane. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we thought it would be good no matter who the quarterback is because those are just insane weapons, but it didn't really turn out that way.
It was this Baker was last year.
Yeah, at least last year. Because Baker was not very good.
No, yeah, fall off here. But, you know, I think the Browns are completely dumb for doing that, but at the same time, if it did go down,
they might not have had the money to get OBJ.
Well, maybe they didn't have enough, and Millicent didn't have enough interest in re-signing with the Browns after his contract expired, so they didn't want to pull the trigger or something like that. They just wanted to go with the safe bet of drafting a rookie and having him for 4 years instead of having Wilson for, I think it was two at the time, probably left then. So that could have been that. I don't know. Hugh Jackson denied it, but it's an interesting little story if that ever did go down. I don't think Wilson's going to, if he didn't know about this before, which I'm sure he did if
he was legitimately offered. Yeah,
if he was legitimately out there.
It might have just been like, what would this look like? It might have just been like a little inquiry. I don't think they would have done any official offers and just actually thrown him out there.
Yeah, I don't think they were really looking at it too strongly. I think they were pretty committed at getting the deal done, but there's that. We're going to take a quick little break, ad break. You'll hear Aiden talking about Anchor, and we'll be right back after the break.
Welcome back to segment number two, and we are going to start off with Quentin Dunbar and DeAndre Baker and their warrant that is out for their arrest for armed robbery.
Yeah, so Quentin Dunbar and DeAndre Baker made some bad decisions. As we know, DeAndre Baker was a very good corner at the University of Georgia, and then he went to the New York Giants in the first round of the NFL draft last year, had a ton of guaranteed money. You know, he's a very, very rich guy.
Yeah. really no need to rob anyone because you have millions upon millions of dollars, and it just didn't really make sense why someone with so much money would feel the need to be so violent to get more money.
Yeah. Now, Dunbar is a seasoned veteran as well, so he has some deep pockets as well. And they pretty much just sabotaged their careers, if this is true. They reportedly were at a barbecue. Well, first of all, there's some rumors that they lost around $70,000 in like a poker or card game. At a previous party with some people at the same,
yes,
at the same one that they're going to now. So they went to this party. It was a barbecue,
mm-hmm.
And they pretty much held people at gunpoint and took people's watches and all this stuff and tried to get their money back.
There are rumors saying that there are witnesses saying none of this really happened. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that. But at the same time, if they can prove that Dunbar or Baker showed up to the party with a weapon, which it is rumored that they did show up with a semi-automatic weapon, then you start to think they had thought about it before it happened. So if it was premeditated, then that's not good. You don't really show up to a barbecue with a gun,
yeah,
without it just doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, it's just so dumb too. I mean, you guys have so much money already. $70,000 is enough. Isn't a lot.
I mean, it is, but not to them.
To them, it's like pocket change, and it's just, I don't know. It's just so dumb. It's just a dumb decision. Like, you're losing your whole career, possibly, over this. Especially Dunbar, who
could have had multiple millions ahead of him if he re-signed a contract.
Yeah, Dunbar, I believe, just signed with the Seahawks. He's an all-right player, but you could wash him off to the side and probably get him out of the league and no one would care. Baker, maybe the same.
He has a
but
bright
Baker
future,
at least
though.
Has some potential.
And the questionable thing is, the day after this all came out and was in the news, I can't remember if it was Dunbar or Baker, but he went on to like a talk show.
I believe that was I think Dunbar did like a press conference.
Yeah.
With the Seahawks.
I don't know. It was just really weird that,
yeah.
I mean, maybe he's trying to make it appear that nothing really happened, because if he did do something like that bad, he probably wouldn't have.
I mean, they turned themselves in, so that was good.
That is good, yes.
That is good that they turned themselves in. But we'll see how this one unfolds. This is a big one, especially during quarantine as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have two more of these to go over, because the NFL players are losing their minds.
So the NFL players are just getting really bored in quarantine right now and have decided
to make terrible life decisions involving weapons.
And just shoot weapons, because who cares?
Yeah.
And Redskins wide receiver Cody Latimer, who's been kind of – he was drafted in the second round back in the day. I forget which year, probably like 2013, 2012-ish, 2014, somewhere around there. But he was drafted there, and he was in the second round. He had some high potential, some high praise. And never really panned out. He's been jumping around the league. I believe he was with the Giants, and he was with the Broncos to start his career, and all around there. Now he's with the Redskins, and we haven't heard his name in a while because he's just been bouncing around the league. And
his way back into the news for all the wrong reasons.
He was arrested for shots fired inside his apartment.
I don't know much about this story because I've heard more about the Dunbar and Baker one. But, I mean, I don't know if it was him who fired the shots.
There's not a ton of information about this one. It's just that he was arrested.
But either way, there were shots fired in his apartment, and he's arrested because he's stupid. So there you go.
We don't know if he was intending the shots towards anybody or he was just being dumb and was drunk or something. He was just firing in his apartment for no reason.
Which is illegal.
But, yeah, he was not handling a gun with proper care. So,
yeah.
That is unlawful. And that is
At least this weapon sounds like it was registered, though.
Yeah.
So that's good. On to the next one, though. Ed Oliver. Arrested for a DWI.
This is the best player out of all of them, and he was the latest one. Arrested for DWI. And
carrying an unregistered weapon.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, yeah, why? Okay.
What I heard is he had a open beer in his lap while he was driving. Like,
he was erratically driving too as well.
Visibly, like, the when the cops pulled him over, they saw the beer in his lap open, which is quite possibly the stupidest thing you can do. First off, you shouldn't have open alcohol in your car in the first place. Second off, you shouldn't be driving after you've had drinks whatsoever. And you also should not have an unregistered weapon. So there's a whole bunch of stupidity happening from this man.
Yeah. I mean, rookie defenders in New York definitely are having some tough times with unregistered weapons. You know, Quinnen Williams back in, I believe, late 2019, I believe.
Yeah, a few months
ago. When he had that gun on the plane, I think. And he was, like, unregistered or something. He got arrested for that, or he got detained or something. I don't know.
He didn't really do anything super bad with it, though. He just didn't have it registered, which is bad, but it's still not...
The Oliver one is definitely worse.
Yes.
It's definitely worse. But, yeah, other drivers reported that he's driving erratically and got pulled over and arrested for driving while intoxicated and having an unregistered weapon. So a double whammy there. And he's the best player, too. He has such a bright future. He had a really good season last year for the Bills, looking like they're next to kind of like Kyle Williams even more because he had pass rush. So... just really stupid decisions, and it's like these all came like a day apart. So
yeah, it's all like really unnecessary things that could have easily been prevented, all within the span of like 2 days. It's it's crazy. Everything just fell apart.
It's so
within
weird.
NFL players for a brief moment in time.
It's so weird.
Hopefully nothing else happens, but. You never know.
I mean, well, I think this chain started because Tom broke into that house of that poor man next to Byron Leftwich's house.
Yes.
And walked in unlawfully. And this set off this chain. I'm kidding. But, yeah. All seriousness, though, these are stupid decisions. Don't make these decisions in your life, especially when you have so much money that you shouldn't be doing this stuff anyways.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Anyways, that's it for NFL today. We will be now on to the NBA.
A former agent of Zion Williams has allegedly reported that Zion received some illegal things from Duke when he was getting recruited. I'm not sure what those...
money.
Yeah, not sure if it came in the form of money or like... something else, but not good.
I mean, who's surprised at this point, though?
It's everywhere.
It's on the Wiseman thing.
Yeah.
We call it the Wiseman thing. I mean, it's not hard to predict if a top recruit's coming out that they got some compensation for going there. I mean, there was that whole Ole Miss football thing back in 2014 when they got Treadwell Yeah, well, anyways, they got a lot of top recruits, right? Ole Miss got a lot of top recruits. And they were found to pay them. Mississippi State's been caught doing that stuff as well. SEC especially because, you know, a lot of football conferences and basketball conferences, everybody in college sports pays their recruits because it's just a way to
get them and you get
there easily.
Yeah, it's just easier.
And the Zion thing I don't think is a big deal because – you could investigate pretty much any major player.
Any top recruit.
Any top. And any
obviously, the Wiseman one was probably a little easier to suspect because he went to Memphis, which isn't the most well-known basketball program. Obviously, it's not terrible. It's a good program.
That's Penny Hardaway as well, which was a draw. But he did get paid. I mean, Coach K, if he's shelling out money to get people.
I don't think Coach K should need to,
is,
but... yeah, if Coach K himself isn't, and the school of Duke isn't a big enough lure to be able to get a top recruit to come, then everyone is getting paid. I don't know why they make it such a big deal. Just let it happen.
It's like the MLB. The MLB, we know everybody's stealing signs, and we know a lot of people are still taking steroids.
But we don't do anything about it because it makes it more entertaining.
They don't do a lot about it. every once in a while, we'll have these little, like, kind of leaks out, and the media and the MLB and everybody will be like, oh, this is such a bad thing, and oh, it's horrible that this is happening in the sport, when everybody knows
everyone steals
all
signs
the time.
Just people do it in different ways.
And every once in a while, when there's some dead air and someone wants to stir something up, they'll accuse people of it. But it never really matters. I mean, Louisville had that stuff going on back then too, and you know, they got some reprimandation for it, but they're still back in the fray right now. So there's nothing. You can investigate all the top college basketball and college football programs out there right now, and you'll probably get some
form of something that was shelled out to a recruit.
Yeah, and is that a bad thing? No. Is it against the rules? Yes. But I don't think the NCAA really cares as much anyways. And now players are going to start getting they can start making money off their likeness. So maybe this will start coming down, that colleges won't have to shell out money anymore because the players are already getting paid.
And they already have
sponsorships.
Because
it's better off for everyone.
I've heard living off just a scholarship is really tough because you don't really have time to get like a job or anything, and your whole life is playing that sport, and you don't really have any money to provide for yourself to actually eat healthy food that an athlete needs to be eating.
Mm.
So that can be an issue sometimes.
I mean, it's better off for everyone if they can make money off their likeness, because they get sponsorships, they get the money that they would have got from the college if they're paying them, and the college doesn't have to shell out any money, so they're saving money. So
yeah,
it's better off for
them. There's no losers in that situation.
No, not at all. And I don't see why they did it, why they didn't do it earlier, but the NCAA finally making some steps. The NBA is also considering a virtual combine, which I'm not sure how that would really work. Like,
you just
live stream yourself and do
either live stream it or record it or something like that and just send it to all the coaches, which it makes sense that that's what they would do. I'm not sure how it's necessarily going to work, but it doesn't seem like it'll be the most complicated thing to figure out.
I mean, guys could just post their highlight tapes on like Twitter, like Tua was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Do scouting that way. You have to have really good scouts to be able to monitor that stuff, but I'm sure they'll be okay. The NBAPA is also polling players on if they're setting out polls on if they want to play or if they don't, which I'm assuming almost every player that's in the playoff run will probably want to play, and people are like, I'm sure.
I don't think many people will say no, because everyone is hating not having any sports, especially the athletes themselves, that they live to just go out and play and have competition and stuff. So yeah, I'm assuming everyone's probably gonna want them.
And Chris Paul, who's the big voice of the NBAPA, also had that he's willing to play, and he knows a lot of other players want to play right now. So I think they're in a good area right now. They also want to decide in 2 to 4 weeks when they're going to come back. So 2 to 4 weeks is when they're going to decide. We're thinking it's probably going to be at a neutral site. They're allowing sports in Texas and Boston and stuff like that now. So there's open areas for that, but we'll see what the NBA does in 2 to 4 weeks. I think they're going to resume the season. I also see the NHL resuming the season at somewhat of a neutral site, but probably just the playoffs, I'd assume. I mean, you can't fit the rest of the regular season in right now. I think that would be a waste of time. So maybe expanded playoff bracket. I'd just keep it the same 8 teams per conference playoff bracket, whoever it was in then. Or you could have like the lower seeds fight it out for the 8 seed or something. But right now, we just want playoff basketball. You know,
I
think right now we'd be
in
at
general
the Western Conference Finals or something, or the Eastern. I think we'd be at the conference finals at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd be pretty far along. It's very disappointing to not be able to have that, but it is what it is.
Now, this is a little change of direction, but we wanted to go over. So ESPN, they released a top 74 players of all time list.
For basketball.
For basketball. which is weird. 74 is a random number.
It's a very random number. 75 would have made sense.
I'm not really sure why they did 74, but they did.
But it's all right.
And this was voted on by all the top.
Yeah, multiple analysts.
And we're going to
And there's a lot of odd placements in here.
Very odd. We found this, we've looked at this list before and we just found it very weird. So we're going to give you the rundown number by number. So number 74 was Artis Gilmore. He played center for the Bulls, also played for the Spurs. Had some good numbers, played in the 70s. He's kind of an average type guy.
Yeah.
Didn't get a lot of shine in his career. So 74 is a fair placement. Dikembe Mutombo, the no guy. He was at 73.
I think he should be a little higher. I think it's a little low. Obviously, he didn't really do much scoring, but he was ridiculously good defensively and rebounding wise.
He didn't really. So, I think 73 is somewhat fair because, you know, he had that dominant stage with the Nuggets. And he had some time with Atlanta and Philadelphia with Iverson where he was all right. But after that, he really didn't do a ton. So it was more of a short-term type
of
dominance. But I think he should obviously be respected. He's one of the greatest centers. So, and defensive players of all time. So
72, obviously. We got Damian Lillard. Not really much to say about that. I'm all right with it.
Lillard, good point scorer. Hasn't done a ton in terms of
He's been able to hit a lot of big shots in the playoffs, though.
He's had some tough times, obviously. So there you go. Number 71 is Bob Lanier. He played center for the Pistons. You know, not a ton, 70s through 80s. He also played for the Bucks, 80-84. 20.1 points per game, 10.1 rebounds. Had good numbers. Really a guy that not a lot of people know about, but he was a key part of the 70s and a good player for a Pistons team that didn't really do a ton, but overall was a good player. Number 70 is Tony Parker.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. It's all right. Then 69, Bernard King. Not really a ton here. Now, number 68, Pete Maravich. This is kind of so-so. Pistol Pete, 24.2, 4.2 rebounds per game. And a 5.4 assists per game. Just very good numbers and was a very good player. Didn't really have a super long career, but was a very good player for his time. I thought he would be a little higher than 68, but that's where he's at. Especially Alex English in front of him.
Who I've never heard of.
Yeah. respect to English, but not really a lot there, to be honest. Also, we had at 66, Dave Cowens, a key part of the Celtics in the 60s and early 70s. So that was also all right selection there. Pau Gasol at 65. I'd put Cowens probably ahead of him. Ramon Rowe at 64, key part of the Knicks. Alonzo Mourning, good with the Heat and the Charlotte Hornets. Got him off the – now, Dennis Rodman at 62, not a big point scorer. But very good at rebounding, obviously, and a good defensive player for the Pistons, which a lot of people forget, and the Bulls. We also had Robert Parrish at 61, one of the key parts of the Larry Bird teams. And Willis Reed, really, kind of, why? Bob McAdoo, Maja Nobley, key part of the Spurs run.
Yep.
Tony Parker, maybe, you know, Tony and Manu kind of, I think, are kind of on par.
So it's kind of weird how differently they've been placed.
Yeah, how far apart.
Yeah.
But we got Clyde the Glide Drexler at 57. And then Ray Allen at 56, which I kind of disagree. I would put Clyde a little higher than him just because Ray hasn't done a he's done a lot, and he's one of the best three-point scorers, and I think I'll get a lot of crap for that. But Clyde led that team against, like, Michael Jordan,
yeah,
pretty much by himself, and I don't think Ray could really ever do that. So, yeah, that's that. 55, Vince Carter, you know, got the Raptors out there, and he's been a living legend forever, one of the best dunkers of all time. And not the crazy numbers that will get you off the board, but he's been consistent for a long time. Paul Pierce at 54, obviously one of the greatest Celtics of all time. Got that big three together and played very well through it. Gary Payton, the glove, one of the greatest defensive players of all time, defensive point guard. Tracy McGrady, very, very respected by a lot of people.
Lots of potential, very injury struck.
Yeah, injury struck. but still put up great numbers, fought through that. Never really had a great shot at winning anything in terms of championships.
Yeah.
But was a great player. James Worthy, great sidekick to Kareem and Magic Johnson. And if he was alone, probably would have a lot more respect as he had a lot better numbers. Wes Unseld, 10.8 points per game, 14 rebounds. Just one of those old guys that not a lot of people remember. So I'll give him some respect there. But I don't know if he's better than those guys before him, especially Gary Payton. Then we got Reggie Miller, great three-point shooter. And Bill Walton, who was injury struck after his Trailblazer days, but yeah, very good there. George Gervin, great player for San Antonio. Dominique Wilkins, great dunker, went head-to-head in the 80s. Anthony Davis at 45 is a little high right now.
Yeah, that's pretty high. He hasn't really accomplished too much. Obviously a good player right now, but really high up for an all-time.
Yeah, especially a lot of these guys are high for how, how short they have been in the league, but they have been dominant. Elvin Hayes, Rick Barry, had those weird free throws, but was a very good player if you didn't watch him back in the day. Russell Westbrook had, known for his triple doubles and consistent play, but I don't know if he should be that high right now. Bob Cousy, key part of the 60s team right there. Now they have sectioned into 74 to 41. 40 and then 40.
40 to 11 and then 10 to 1.
Chris Paul at 40. Now, I think this is a little low. Chris Paul has been a great player for his whole entire career, but really hasn't had a lot around him, besides for those lob city days in the Clippers where he was still overshadowed by the Thunder and all that. So,
yeah.
He's had some tough breaks, but he's a great player. One of the best point guards of all time. Mm-hmm. Probably a little better than Walt Frazier here at 39, but still respect to Walt Frazier. Also, Bob Pettit. I'd put Chris Paul above him. Patrick Ewing, disrespected here. He's down at 37.
I would put him a lot higher.
Yeah, one of the greatest college players of all time when he played at Georgetown, and also one of the best Knicks of all time, arguably the best Knick of all time. Kevin McHale, also I'd put Ewing ahead of him. I'm a Celtics fan. Ewing's ahead of him. Jason Kidd, great player. Not better than stats, McHale. But yeah. John Havlicek, very key part of the Celtics back then. James Harden at 32. Why are we having him ahead of Patrick Ewing? We don't know.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas.
The tall one.
Not even arguably the best player on those Bad Boy Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
The best by far. Isaiah Thomas, very underrated. You have Steve Nash here at 30. I put Isaiah ahead, but, Allen Iverson at 29. That's respectable. John Stockton at 28. Then we have Giannis at 27.
He's only had two or three really dominant years. So it's a little questionable to have him this high on an all-time list. Yeah. I would put him in the top 40, but not at 27.
We're putting him ahead of Stockton, Isaiah Thomas, Allen Iverson already. And mm-hmm. That's a little bit much right now. Dwayne Wade at 26.
Could be higher, but
also. Kawhi now at 25.
Yeah.
That a little early for that. He's done a lot, but still a little early to put on the head of Stockton, who's you look at what a point guard is. Stockton is what a point guard is. David Robinson at 24, the Admiral. Good. Charles Barkley, another good rating at 23. I think that was pretty good. Elgin Baylor, pretty good player. 27.4 points per game. Very underrated. Scottie Pippen. Again, overshadowed by Jordan, but was a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Garnett at 20, one of the greatest power forwards of all time. Dirk Nowitzki at 19, that's pretty good. Moses Malone, underrated, 18. Karl Malone at 17. Jerry West at 16. Julius Erving at 15. You got Durant at 14.
Which is, yes, he's accomplished a lot, and he has really good stats, but it's still high for someone who's still playing. And then I disagree with this. Having Steph Curry at 13, I would put Durant above him.
Yeah, I'd put Durant above him as well. Curry's a very good player, but at 13 already. Hakeem, the Dream, at 12. Very, I respect that a lot. Oscar Robertson, Mr. Triple-Double before
Russell
Westbrook, obviously. So, and probably the better Mr. Triple-Double. So we have him at 11. At number 10, I believe we have Shaq, which may be a little low, but the top 10 is
very loaded, as we know. So we have that. I'm pulling this up really quick. There's Shaq. Okay. Kobe at 9.
I would have him top 3.
I have Kobe top 3. Arguably, I think I like Kobe a lot, and I think that you could have an argument for him over LeBron. I know a lot of people don't like thinking about that, but when you think about it, Kobe did win with Shaq, but he won those other two championships with a good team, but it was just pow. LeBron's only won with
Kyrie,
two other really good stars.
Kyrie and Kevin Love.
Kyrie, Kevin Love, and then you had Bosh.
And Wade.
And Allen. Those are all like Hall of Fame caliber players. Maybe not Kevin Love, but pretty much all Hall of Fame caliber guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pau really is the only Hall of Fame caliber guy on that team, although you also had Ron Artest and guys like that. So that's why I think Kobe should be thought of at least somewhat in the conversation to be ahead of LeBron. And personally, I'd put it Jordan and then Kobe and then LeBron. But I don't know why Kobe's so far down at 9. I mean, it's 5 chips and was leader with the team. So there you go. And just the disrespect that 3 died as well. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan at 8. He wasn't the greatest player to watch, but got it done, and he was
very solid. Yeah.
Larry Bird at 7, again, very, very good player. Will Chamberlain at 6, 100 points. Magic Johnson, I'd probably put behind Wilt, but, you know, he deserves to be up there in the top 10. You know, I agree with most of these guys in the top 10, just the order is just,
Yeah, I agree with the players, and I just order it a little differently.
Bill Russell at 4. Again, you know, he won so many championships, 11, I believe. Just crazy.
And like,
ruled the
almost all of them straight, too.
Yeah, and against Wilton, Elgin Baylor, and Jerry West, guys like that. So a lot of those Lakers. The Lakers Celtics 60s was very good. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at 3, all-time point scorer. LeBron at 2, which, you know, as it should be. Michael Jordan at number 1, you know.
All is right with that.
All is right with that. But overall, the ESPN list probably give a C-, not the best.
Yeah.
Probably could have done a little bit better. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for part 3. And we're back with the MLB. So in the MLB this week, and well, mostly this week, but prior, everybody's been waiting for the start of the MLB season and for it to actually get the start because it was so close to starting and then Corona came in and just screwed up everything. But there's been players coming out this week after a proposed plan came out for the MLB where the season would start around the 4th of July. They'll play 82 games and there'll be a 14-team postseason. 7 teams per conference, I'd assume. And that's up 4 teams than usual. There's usually 5 teams per conference. It would be 7 teams per conference now. So I'm assuming they add like an extra wild card game or something there. But they're adding 14-team postseason. I think that's probably to supplement for an 82-game season. They want more teams to have more opportunities that would have hit kind of the home stretch on fire and got into the playoffs late, kind of like the Nationals did last year. And they obviously won the World Series, but they weren't a contender at the start of the season. So this is kind of a shorter, even a shorter season. So they're trying to make room for that. And personally, I like this plan a lot. I think whatever gets back baseball now is a good plan. And 4th of July is a great place to put the start of the season there. Also, the spring training will start somewhere in, I believe, June. In June. Yeah, let me fact check that. Yes. It would start in June. So it would be June spring training, kind of a shortened thing to get it more ramped up, get them back in shape, which I mean, you can have like a little period, but you don't need to do another spring training. You've already done that. So, I don't know, but just get pitchers back in form and things like that. So, whatever gets it going, I mean, whatever gets going. But the MLB Players Association, they've been dealing with the owners who now want to reduce salaries because, obviously, they're going to lose a lot of revenue. There's been news reports that have come out that they might lose $4 billion off of this, which is a lot of money, maybe not for the MLB, but still a substantial amount losing money for this season because there'll be no fans in the stands. And obviously that affects concessions and a lot of things that the MLB makes all the revenue off of. So they want salaries to be reduced. Not too bad. There's also been talks about kind of a 50-50 split and salary caps and all that for just the season. Trevor Bauer, he called the plan laughable. He's a pitcher for the Reds. And you also have Blake Snell. He said he won't play at all and cited, this is the main one, Blake Snell was the big one, pitcher for the Rays. He said that he wasn't going to play at all, and he cited as one of his reasons that he was risking his life. Now, I can understand where he's coming from, that he wouldn't want to play on reduced salary. You signed a contract, you were promised that contract, and you don't want to play. First of all, that point, like, as kind of, I'd say, I can't find a better word for it, so I'd say greedy. As greedy as that is, I understand where you're coming from. There, you have a contract, you signed it, you agreed to it, you were promised that money, you should get that money. But the problem that I have with this is the risking your life part. He's I believe, like, 20, late 20s. Anyways, he's not in his 70s, okay? You're not going to die, Blake Snell.
Not gonna die.
You're not risking your life. Now, you can say that maybe you're risking people around you, around your, in your circle, around them, maybe risking their lives if they're in kind of that danger zone of over 60 or over 70, around that area. But Blake Snell, you're not risking your life, dude. Okay? You're not doing it. That's a poor, very, very poor excuse for not wanting to play. And I'm sure if they gave you the regular salary, you'd probably go in there anyways. And if you wouldn't, I think you'd be pretty dumb for that, because you're going to be pretty well isolated. I mean, you're not risking your life. You're going to be, there's probably going to be less staff than there even was before. And you're just with your team, all young people. I mean, you guys are top tier athletes as well. Well, baseball players don't need as much conditioning, but even still, they're still top tier athletes. So you're in the, for your age, you're on the lowest percentage of people that are at risk of dying, if there is any risk at all of a 20 something year old dying from coronavirus, which is a big problem, but they're just not going to die. Okay. And plus, these pay cuts aren't going to be huge. I mean, you're on a 5-year, $50 million contract. You can afford to maybe lose a couple million dollars. You can. You're pretty much set up for life already. You can. I respect that you don't want to move from it, but if you really love the game as much, then I wouldn't find any problem in you reducing your salary to $48 million or something. Like, you're not going to give a lot. I can see if they try to pull money out of minor league contracts of those players that get barely nothing for what they do and having to go through the minor league life. I mean, I can see them complaining like Blake Snell is, and I'd accept that completely, and I wouldn't doubt them once. I wouldn't doubt them once. I think if the MLB did that, that would be so power hungry of the owners, and just, even if you're losing a ton of money, taking money away from minor leaguers who get barely anything would be ridiculous. But they're not really talking about taking it away from minor leaguers. They're taking it away from major leaguers who have crazy contracts. And Snell's not even one of the crazy contracts. I mean, Bryce Harper, Machado, remember those huge, like, $300 million contracts? David Price, who has, like, 240 or something. They got crazy long-term contracts that they have a ton of guaranteed money in. And they're complaining that they're going to, oh no, $1.5 million is getting taken out, where you're probably going to spend that on, like, some car or something, probably get rid of it in a couple of years. It's like, it doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, if you're not going to play and you're not even going to get any money, then it's better to get some money there. It's like, I'm a Patriots fan, so And NFL, Patriots love to have pay cuts too, because we always had with Brady a ton of salary cuts and all of that. When we have those salary cuts, like Amendola was one who always took salary cuts to win championships, and because they had the desire, Patrick Chung's another, because they had the desire to win championships and they just wanted to play. They loved the game that they played. And you just don't see that from MLB players today. They just want to get all the money they can. They won't let go of any of it. And, you know, Blake Snell, I'm sure he's an all right guy, but through that thing, through that video, he just looked like such an a-hole. Such an a-hole. And even if he was speaking, like, he's speaking things that are true, that, you know, he's owed this money, and he has the right to it, and he has the right to not give up any of it. He has the right to do that. It's America, so he has the right to do that. And that's completely fine, but if I were him, I mean, I wouldn't blink once thinking, it wouldn't keep me up at night thinking that I gave up $2 million off of my $50 million contract. So, and probably even less, to be honest. I mean, it's just a bad image, and I think getting a bad image like that, especially to people who maybe don't follow baseball or something, it just puts a bad image on baseball. It's killing the sport, and it's killing your image as well, and that might be even more damage than $2 million out of your pocket would be. So there's always two sides, the owners as well. They have a ton of money, so that is another thing. But Blake Snell, I think, just was a bad decision by them. Anyways, some more additional parts of this agreement to the MLB's new proposed season is the NL will have a DH. You know, they usually have, that's usually exclusive to the AL, and they don't really have that. They just have pitchers go up and hit. Now, this is kind of to save arms and things like that. And, you know, this is a good trial stage. And I like that they're bringing these new ideas. I think they could get a little more funky with these ideas and maybe try out a little more things, because right now, all we want is sports. So even if the sport is way different, I don't think a lot of people would care. The NL having DHs, a lot of people have wanted this for a long time, so that's a good idea. Anyways, I mean, it gets more jobs for players that would just normally be riding the bench, but now they have a hitting spot. It gives the pitcher some more rest to actually do what he's paid to do, which is pitch and not hit, unless you're like Bartolo Colon and we love to see you hit. But yeah, I think the NL getting a DH is a good idea as well. Now, some news in terms of resuming sports and the MLB. Arizona is now allowing sports, one of the spring training locations. So that's good. Boston also said that they would allow the Red Sox to play with no fans at Fenway Park. Another good thing there. Although neutral site spring training, the spring training neutral site idea probably is the most likely thing to go through. Although California has said that they'd allow sports with no fans now, but LA still like caught up with all that, not wanting to play till 2021 stuff. The mayor is all like, he's way off of everybody else. So California's starting to come back to earth in terms of letting sports come back in. So that's good for them. But there's a lot of light coming out right now that we could possibly see baseball come back. And most likely that or the NBA, which is deciding in 2 to 4 weeks, is most likely going to be the first ones to come back to us. Also, in the 2021 World Baseball Classic, which is basically the World Cup of baseball, it has been canceled. It's getting moved back to 2022. You know, that sucks, but kind of shows somewhat the severity and still the risk of people getting together and still the risk of sports that people have. They have kind of got adapted to, I guess. There's still some fear there, obviously. And this is a world competition, so you have a lot of people traveling in, a ton of countries and stuff. So it just shows how travel and sports and kind of, you know, the London games got canceled for the NFL this year. So there's still some, there's a stigma around traveling right now. And we're probably going to have that in sports for at least 2 years, I'd say, because, I mean, no one's really traveling around. A lot of those international things have been canceled for until the next coming years. So, unfortunately, the World Baseball Classic has been canceled, but, you know, we're still going to have the MLB, so that's nice. And obviously, Korean baseball, which we've all kind of fallen on if you're a big baseball fan. So that's it for the MLB and baseball news. Now we have soccer, just briefly before we wrap this podcast up. So the Premier League season, it won't be voided and will return around June 12th. That is the reported news from the EPL in England. The Bundesliga was also back, the German affiliate league. And they had their first game, which was Dortmund, one of their big clubs, along with Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich didn't play yet, but Dortmund came back and they beat Schalke. Forgive me, I'm not the biggest soccer fan if I pronounce that wrong. They beat them 4-0. So that was the big news. Finally, we had something back in terms of sports, even if it's not from the US. You know, we still had the Bundesliga, and I'm sure that got very, very high ratings. And, you know, it just shows hope. It shows hope in terms of our sports coming back. There's so much traction now. And, you know, finally, in a few weeks, maybe we'll have some baseball to talk about, some baseball games, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. I mean, I just can't wait until those come back, and I can't wait to talk about them with you guys. So thank you guys so much for listening to Sports Report Podcast. Me, Aiden, and Alejandro, appreciate you guys so much. Aiden and Alejandro will hopefully be back for next week. We already know that Aiden will be back for a recording on Friday, which will probably drop Saturday or Friday night. And Alejandro most likely will be there as well. So we'll finally have the recording group back together for... I don't think we've recorded together for a very long time. Aiden was in this recording, thankfully, for the first time in a few weeks. Alejandro has not been in recording for a while, so we'll get him back. And, yeah, hopefully we'll have some good sporting news to talk about. I know the NFL has a lot of stuff going on right now in terms of rule changes and the Rooney Rule. So we'll talk about that next in the next podcast. We can't wait to see you guys. Just some quick social links. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Report Pod, Sports Report Po 1. Follow us on Instagram at Sports Report Podcast. Also, we have a YouTube channel that has gotten some very nice traction. Thank you guys for 17,000 views. That is very amazing of you guys. You check that out for highlights and podcast clips, as along with some 10-minute segment stuff and some clips from podcasts from all the way back last year, which you can also find on our library. You can listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Radio Public, all those publications. Thank you guys so much. We can't do this without you. We love you guys, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Stay tuned.